bit light. And then, stunning, bloody. And then was light, radiant and bright. God called the light day, just like we do. And the darkness he called night, again, which is just like what we call it. So far, he's only calling things what we already know that they are. And that we call a trend. On the second day, God created Adam and Eve from some spare ribs. I don't know where they got those from. No one thought to ask. Adam and Eve, innocent and without shame, naked as the day they were born, walked hand in hand through the Garden of Eden, which must have had very high walls around it, because let's face it, we'd have all been up a tree with our binoculars watching that, wouldn't we? Don't worry, everyone, it's only normal. Now, the Garden of Eden was absolutely enormous, so one can only imagine how big the house must have been. When I was researching up on the Garden of Eden, I asked my greengrocer, Alan Clifford, he drinks in the woodpecker, for a ballpark number of just how many different types of fruit there would have been in those days. And he said, did Alan, there would have to be somewhere in the region of between 50 different ones. And that is coming from an expert in the field who's had his own fruit shop established 1963. So thank you very much for that, Alan. You certainly knows his onions. Un-bloody believable. And that was just about perfect for me, that was. Of all my many visits to Egypt, if I, Count Arthur Strong, live to be 100, I'll never forget that night when we arrived at the cursed old tomb of King Nefu Khneser. At either side of the entrance, there stood, hewn from solid granite, I would imagine, two giant colossuses. Listen! At one side of the entrance stood one giant colossus, and at the other side of the entrance stood another giant colossus. You see, there's ways round all that sort of thing. Once inside, onward I went, passing several of the royal sarsasagoses. Listen! One goose is a goose. Two gooses is a geese. That's what I'm saying, sarsasageese. Once inside, there were no prizes for guessing which was Nephew Fenez's sarsasageese. It shone like solid gold in the half-light, almost half-blinding anyone who even half looks at it. It was then that I noticed one of the strangest things I have ever noticed for quite some time. At the side of the sarsasageese, there stood a small stone table. It looked a bit like a bedside cabinet, now I come to think of it. And on that cabinet, there was, and I'll never forget this, an almost empty schooner of sherry and a half-eaten mince pie. Now, come on! Jingle bells! He's got to live somewhere the rest of the year. Un-bloody believable. And that was near perfect for me, that was. You know, because from time to time, I, Count Arthur Strong, have to research up on ancient Egypt for my valuable work I do, I have been given complete access to the archive of the British Egyptological Society, Doncaster Branch, in which, incidentally, I am honorary president of. And I don't mention that to inflate myself up in front of you. Oh, no, no, no. Absolutely no conceit about that whatsoever. I mean, for goodness sake, who isn't the honorary president of something or other these days? I know I am. In my case, it's the Doncaster branch of the British Egyptological Society. How many more times? Come on. And what I've done today is I've delved into that said archive and I brought with me the Daily Journal of Lord Carnarvon, who, as you all know, discovered the tomb of, there we go, Toot the Car Horn. Toot the Car Horn, you see? That's how you remember them. October the 2nd, 1922. Sunday, Cairo. God, it's hot. All this sun and sand puts me in mind of Bridlington. Went shopping today in the bazaar. Bought another carpet and the wife got herself a yashmak. It's you, these last 2 weeks have simply flown by. I'm definitely coming for longer if I come again. Falafels for dinner tonight. Hurrah! Oh, sorry, my mistake. I don't think. So, not a fan of the falafel then. P.S. On the minus side, the lavatories are disgusting. A real hit-and-miss affair. Isn't that a wonderful insight into the workings of the fine mind of someone who, after all, was the leading of all the British escapologists, Lord Carnarvon. Un-bloody believable. And that was just about perfect for me, that was. Now, some of you may be surprised to find that I am an expert in the field of Egyptian alcoholology. Oh, it's alcoholology. That's both in the field of Egyptian alcoholology. Oh, it's much too early for that. My fire was first lit for all things Egypt when I was doing my national service. I was in the entertainment branch of the forces, of course, ENSA. And we came to Egypt when we were touring the Middle East with, what was the name of that play we'd done? There's a musical. What was it? Fiddler on the Roof. Yes, that's right, because I done the top hole in that. In a break from rehearsals, me and some of the other cast hired some of those, what they call them? Ship of the Desert. Camels. Filthy, dirty scavengers. Go on, move out of it. Right away, you filthy beasts. They give you a good price if there was a few of you. You got what they called a job lot. Who was that? There was Pete Murray, Toppets Radio, Londonburg, Toppets, this jockey, that, you know. And Lawrence of Arabia. No, not Lawrence of Arabia. Peter Barkworth, because he played Lawrence of Arabia in one of my films I'd done, in which I undertook the role of Sir Harry Mayhew, QC. But, you know, they do say that I was so very convincing as Sir Harry Mayhew, QC, that I got him off. And in all the courtroom scenes, in all the films, that had never happened before, that the jury had gone against the script. And that was me, that. I was the first. So, you know, that's an interesting little story about Egyptian alcoholism, isn't it? Un-bloody believable. And that was just about perfect for me as well, was that? The pyramids, the Sphinx, the Valley of Kings, the Valley of Queens, Sir Elgin Marbles, Queen Cleopatra's Needle, Queen Cleopatra's Needle. The spell of ancient Egypt has fascinated and enthralled people like myself, Count Arthur Strong, for the last millions of years. Rameses was a giant of a man, standing some full 6 foot in his stocking feet, or should I say, in his case, in his besandal feet, if you'll pardon the pun. Now, 6 foot, let's use the Egyptian measurement, 68 pigeon legs, doesn't sound very high to us these days, but with the average height in ancient Egypt being somewhere around the 4 foot six mark, that would be 4 foot six, 24 carry two, 38 pigeon legs, you can see that Emperor Ramesses stood a good, I wish I'd never done and started that now. I don't care. 15 or 20 pigeon knees above everybody else. Now, as well as all that, Emperor Ramesses sired an extraordinary number of offspring, some hundreds and hundreds of children. They're still digging them up at the pyramids. But don't worry, everyone, because he had 8 wives, so it wasn't too much of a burden on any one of them. I mean, our Henry VIII had 8 wives, didn't he? Anne Boleyn, Anne of Cleves, Anne of 1,000 Days, Anne Hathaway, Catherine of Tarragon, Catherine Hepburn, Audrey Hepburn, Glenda Rogers. Oh, she was good in that one, wasn't she? Glenda Rogers with Keith Michelle. Felicity Kendall, 8.
Oh. All right, once you get to that one.
I knew she'd never have booked it.